working on a series of messages on the tabernacle, and I appreciate you being here. I know it's kind of a little joke with me, but when I was a boy, and again, I'm a reminiscer. Do y'all ever reminisce? I reminisce all the time, and I don't know. I got back about a month ago, and I mean, I just got to thinking about all. I brought out some old songs that I hadn't sung in forever, and thinking about my childhood days, and Mr. Pilkington, man, he was a teacher of teachers, and did I turn? All right, and he would love to use that old overhead projector. But now, as a boy, I'm gonna be honest with you. Now, I'm just gonna speak blunt with you. I hated when he got that overhead out. Because, man, as a boy, I was like, oh, my goodness, it's going to be the most boring stuff in the world. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on now, you're lying right here in church. And I'm talking about if you're a boy, a kid. Now, if you're an adult, you ought not be feeling that way. Amen? So I ain't talking about now. I'm talking about when you was a kid. Now, if anybody feels that way tonight, I'm going to pray for you. But when you're a boy, when you're a kid, you see that kind of stuff, you're like, oh my goodness, I've been 8 hours in school. And man, as a kid, but I'm going to tell you now, even though as a kid, I was sitting there and I caught more than I'd ever dreamed. And then as I've gotten older, see, that's why y'all always had your children in church. Whether they like it or not. Because you might not even think they're listening. Man, I'm telling you, there were times we didn't have anything on Wednesday night. We all had to come to the service. And I mean, there were times we'd be sitting there acting up and I'd be drawing on a piece of paper or whatever and I'd get too loud with my friends and Mom would hit me on the arm or she'd look at me, she'd give me that look and she'd say, you want to go to the bathroom? And I knew what time it was getting ready to be. And Kim, you remember them days, but she never misbehaved that much in church. But me and Stephen, we'd sit there and we'd write stuff. And Wednesday night seemed like that was the night to do it, especially if he got that overhead out. So I don't have an overhead out, but I did send out to everyone. Or if you do not have one, we have them in the back. But I have given everyone a rough drawing of the tabernacle. Now, we talked about the means and the money and the men and the methods and the reason why God put so much emphasis on building a tabernacle. We talked about that. Now, that was the first week. So if you've missed any, you need to go back and you can get all of it in its entirety. So we talked about the why. Verse 8 of Exodus 25, if you want to turn there, I want to mention it probably every service because I think this is so very important that we understand. And to be honest, as I've gotten older and I've of course, been through Bible college and been through other studies of the tabernacle. This hit me weeks and weeks ago when I started to prepare for this message. For some reason, I'd never seen verse 8 like I seen it the other day. Have y'all ever read the Bible and that happens to you? And man, I was reading it just hit me. In verse 8 of Exodus chapter 25, then the tabernacle made more sense to me than it's ever happened in my life. Verse 8 says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I about had a shouting, running, slobbering fit when I got done reading that. Because you know what? It's wonderful to be a Christian. You know, I love to be a Christian. I'm glad I'm a part of Christianity. And you know what sets apart Christianity from everything else? Man-made religion is looking for a God. Praise God in Christianity. Our God's looking for us, and He wants to dwell with us. He wants to be with me. He wants to fellowship with me. He cares about me. He knows the very heads on my, every hair on my head. I'm telling you right now, He's interested in me. I'm very thankful. Aren't y'all glad that you have a God that's interested in you? The Bible says in the book of Revelation that He has created us for His pleasure. Now that amazes me. Because I sometimes look at myself and I say, what in the world am I good for? I'm a worthless sinner. Why in the world would a God in heaven want to create me and then say, I've created you for my pleasure? He wants to fellowship with us. By the way, Buddha doesn't have that. Buddhism don't have that. By the way, Islam don't have that. Hey, you go and look at all the religions in the world, you're not going to find a God that wants to dwell with them. Every religion that's been made by man, they're trying to find their God. But I'm glad our God's looking for us, just like He came looking for Adam and Eve in the garden.
to do what? Fellowship with them. And so when we think about the tabernacle, I made this comparison. In the book of Genesis, God created the stars. He created all of the billions of galaxies. And by the way, we know how big of a deal that is because just the other day, I mean, everybody was excited about the lunar eclipse. And by the way, I didn't get to see it. Down here, there was so many clouds you couldn't see it. Now, I don't know, I might just been an old dumb hillbilly from West Virginia, but there was a day, me and a couple of my best friends, we were camping out one night, and it was like 11:30 at night. We're camping out, and fire's going, and we're sitting there talking. All of a sudden, this man just appears in the midst. I was like, man, is he Jesus? I mean, we didn't even hear him. I mean, all of a sudden, this man just pops up, and he's like standing right there at our fire. And I mean, it all scared us to death. We're like, "What? Who are you?" He's like, "Hey, boys." He happened to be the superintendent of the park. He said, "You boys want to see something special tonight?" Right after we catch our breath, you about got shot. He said, "There's an eclipse going on right now." I said, "You about got shot for that. You scared us for that." And I'm going to be honest, I don't know. We didn't know anything about them glasses. We walked out there and just went like this. I guess that's why I'm blind today. But we talk about the galaxies and the stars. And God said, and He created the stars also. He dealt with all of that in detail with five words. But with this tabernacle, He spends chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter to the smallest of details. And by the way, that tells me we have a God that is more interested in souls than He is science. So when we think about this tabernacle, now we're going to skip, we're going to hop, skip to Malou tonight. We're going to bypass something. And yes, on purpose. Now I know we cannot enter into where the table of showbread is number three on your chart. We cannot get to number three until we went through number one, which is the brazen altar, which I preached on last Wednesday. And then, before the priest could go into the holy place, they'd have to go to number two, which is the laver, where they had to wash themselves in water. Now, the reason I'm skipping that, but I want to make sure in context of the tabernacle, the priest could not get into the holy place until he went through the brazen altar, and he had to go to the laver and wash themselves before the priest could go into the holy place. But I want you to know, we're going to skip that tonight because I'm going to preach on the metaphor of the water of God's Word in a couple of weeks, and I want to do it on that same Wednesday. So keep in mind, we're going to go to the table of showbread tonight, but just remember, before the priest could get into the holy place, they'd have to go to the laver and wash, and we'll talk about that at another Wednesday, probably next Wednesday. But I want you to notice that when we think about this tabernacle, and we'll deal with every part of it, but I want to make sure we all understand this. If He spent chapter after chapter after chapter, verse after verse, to the smallest of minute details about the tabernacle, let me just say this. Everything is important. And here's why. This is the greatest one. Now, I might not be able to understand all of it, but I understand this. When you read the Word of God, if you don't see Jesus in it, you're not reading it right. You're not reading it right. So if you're only going to see tonight a table of showbread after this service tonight, I don't think you'll be able to do that. But I want you to know something. The table of showbread is a beautiful picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the great story and the unfolding drama of redemption. Make no mistake about it. So let's look in chapter number 25, if you'll notice, verse 23, and we'll look at the table of showbread. The Bible says, "Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, two cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold." Now remember, and we're going to deal with the labor here next week, but remember, everything on the outer court was layered in what? Brass. But when you go into the holy place, everything there was covered in gold. Now there's a reason. So he says, make it very clear, the table of showbread is to overlay it with pure gold and make it thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. Thou shalt make for it four rings of gold and put the rings on the four corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof and spoons thereof and covers thereof and bowls thereof to cover withal of pure gold. Thou shalt make them. And thou shalt set up on the table showbread before me always. Now we enter into the tabernacle proper. Now the actual tent structure now, when we've entered, we went through the brazen altar, we've come to the laver, then we come to the holy place. And so we've entered into the actual tent dwelling, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread is there, the golden candlestick is there. But as you notice, as we read in chapter 25, verse 23 through 30, everything in that tent structure was gold. Now everything on the outer court, the laver, and the altar was layered in brass. Now you tell me, brass is a picture of God's judgment. So of course we know that the sins were judged on the golden altar, or the brass of altar, because there had to be a sacrifice there, a substitute for the sins of the people. There was a judgment there. We also understand the washing of our bodies, or the washing of sin, it was in brass. But we find here that we walk, we realize that everything is pure gold, and it's reminding us of the divine glory of God that we're approaching. And oh, my soul, the splendor of our God. Can I just say it this way? There ain't nobody like Him. Amen. The table's on the right. If you look at your handout there, it's made of acacia wood. The Bible uses the word shittim wood, but we know it to be acacia wood. And overlaid with gold. It's not large. It's 3 foot by 1.5 foot by 2 foot 3 inches tall. Now, it's not imposing, but it's most magnificent because it's covered in gold. Obviously, we know on the four corners there's rings on it for the practical purposes of carrying it. We see on the Sabbath day the priest would come in and place the bread made specifically for the table. We're going to read about that in a moment. There had to be 12 fresh loaves. And we know that that was symbolic of what? The 12 tribes of Israel. Then the Bible tells us, and we're going to read it in a minute, in the book of Leviticus, where they would pour the wonderful sweet fragrance of frankincense upon the bread. Then they would eat the bread. Then they would eat the bread, and they would eat the bread that was there for the previous week or the previous Sabbath day. So there's a lot here. We're going to talk about it. Here we learn about the fellowship and the satisfaction that God brings. Now, we'll turn there in a minute, but in Leviticus, the Bible tells us that Aaron and his sons would eat there. They would eat the bread together. So we find that there's fellowship there. Then we see there's satisfaction found in knowing Jesus Christ. It's the place of sustenance and provision. And we see it's a place of supply. Just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Jesus Christ's perfect life in this table of showbread, as well as His painful death. And we're going to look at all of it tonight. You say, Pastor, we got enough time? Yes. We see His precious resurrection also in this table of showbread, and we see the satisfaction for all who will believe. Now, this showbread is about salvation. It's about security. It's about satisfaction. We see His perfect life in it, as well as His painful death. We see the unfolding story of Jesus Christ and our redemption for mankind. Now, I'm thankful we can see Jesus Christ in this type. First of all, I want you to notice the table pictures the Savior. That's number one. The table pictures the Savior. Now let's just look at the construction of it. Why would God be so detailed in saying it has to be a certain kind of wood? Now I've done a little bit of study on acacia wood. It's very durable, hard, very hard to decay. It's a wood that's really would be incorruptible. It's much sturdier than oak, and it's not susceptible to the earth. So here's the great picture. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, in His holy humanity, listen, He had His earthly body, but it never saw corruption, the Bible said. Can I say, for He never knew sin. And the gold speaks of the deity of Jesus Christ and with Him. And we know, I heard years ago, I was in Bible college, and there was two Bible college students there, and they were bickering back and forth with one another, and they were arguing whether or not Jesus Christ could ascend or not. And I looked at both of those young men, and I said, y'all need to stop that. I said, that's foolish. So the Bible says that He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. By the way, I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ could have sinned, we're in trouble. We're in trouble if He could have sinned. Oh no, He's deity of God. He's holy. He's without sin. So we see the construction. Then I want you to notice the crowns. Look at verse 25. The Bible says this. And thou shalt make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings in the front corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for the places of the staves to bear the table. We serve a crowned Savior. He first was crowned with what? On the cross. He was crowned with what? Thorns. And by the way, I'm so very thankful. They mocked Him that day. They scourged Him that day. They put a purple robe on Him, making fun of Him. They gave Him a scepter, like I said, if you're the King of the Jews, then come down and save yourself and others. They mocked Him. They spit on Him. They hit Him. They bit Him. The Bible says that they plucked the beard out of His face. They did all of that, and they planted that crown of thorns upon His head. Why? Because He was to be afflicted. But we know, I know this, those very same ones one day will bow their knees. And I am thankful one day here after a while, and only time will tell us, but I want you to know something. He will never wear the crown of thorns anymore. He will wear a golden crown. Why? Because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the next time He comes back as King and Conqueror. Amen. And I can't wait for the day. How about you? Are y'all homesick yet? My soul, I'm homesick. If this is all we had to look forward to was this whole nasty now and now, we'd of all men be most miserable. I'm glad I've got a place much fairer day looking forward to. I'm glad I've got me a place reserved in heaven. I'm glad that He's preparing that place for me. And I'm glad when I lay all this down, I get to go up to a wonderful place and serve King Jesus and worship King Jesus. You say, Pastor, what are we going to do up there in heaven? Don't matter. I believe we're going to worship Him. And by the way, there we're going to understand what all it means to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I believe we'll all worship Him, and not a one will be embarrassed, and not one will have to be prodded to do it. We'll know Him for who He is. We'll see the One that paid the sin debt for us. And we'll be thankful. I wish we'd get thankful around here while we're living. The crown's why, because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm thankful. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And crown Him, what? Lord of all. Yes, there was crowns on that showbread table. Why? Because it's a picture of our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly King, who is victorious indeed. So we see the table's a picture about the Savior. Can I say the picture of the table pictures salvation? Now, when God invited us to be saved, He was inviting you to a feast at His table. A parable in Matthew chapter 22 tells us about the marriage of the king's son, and everyone was invited. And of course, the well-to-do people, they didn't want to come. So what did they do? They sent people out and tried to beg people to come. But they made excuses and said, well, we're too busy. But you know, the servants went out, and the Bible said they compelled them to come in, and they compelled them from the highway and the hedges. Why? Because this table's big enough for everybody. And by the way, here's a picture of missions and evangelism. We ought to all be going out and compelling people and getting them to the table of salvation to eat with the King. Now, I want to say to y'all tonight, we have a great work ahead of us. There's people still right here in Chattanooga. I'll never forget. I told someone, I'm praying about going. We're praying about going to Chattanooga to pastor a church. I'll never forget what the man looked at me and said. He's in heaven now. I know he was just joking. He says, what do you want to go to Chattanooga for? He said, everybody's saved in Chattanooga. Well, we found a few that's not. And by the way, by God's help, we're going to find more. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to compel them to get in here and get saved and trust Jesus as their Savior so they can sit at the table with us. Because we don't want to miss this feast. I'm telling you right now, I think about that beautiful picture. Was it not David, the king? And he had the enemy of Saul's family. Remember, Saul had hunted him like an animal. And finally, king, David became king. And boy, this is a beautiful picture of Jesus as well. And David sitting around one day, he said, hey, I promised Saul that I would never hurt his seed. I'd never hurt his children. He said, I'd like to do something on behalf of just to honor Saul and Jonathan and his family. He said, is there anybody left? He said, yeah, there's an old boy down there at Lodi Bar. He's a cripple. His name's Mephibosheth. Here's what David said. He said, go fetch him. Boy, could you imagine if you was Mephibosheth sitting there at Lodi Bar at about that time? The king's horses, the king's chariots came. And I'm sure, man, old Mephibosheth, the crippled, said, my goodness, what is King David? Is he coming here to kill me? And oh, my goodness, when the servant showed up, said, King David wants to see you. And boy, when he seen King David, here's what King David said. He said, I want you to come and dine at my table. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the Lord... He invites us to come in His table. And I'm thankful we can enter into that table and we can have fellowship with Him when we trust Jesus as our Savior. Amen? And I'm a child of the King. Are you a child of the King?
Amen.
And if you're a child of the King, you're going to feed with the King at His table. And by the way, we know here after a while, Jesus said there's a table in glory in Luke chapter 22 where we're all going to eat and drink at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Boy, to get to that table, you must first come to the table of salvation. Get saved. Look here, don't put it off. If you're listening tonight by way of live stream, if you're at home and you say, Pastor Mark, I'm not saved, then you need to bow your head tonight and you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. He'll convict you of your sin. And boy, when that time comes, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then here after a while, whenever the Lord returns or we meet Him in death, we get to feed at the table with Him. I'm thankful for that. So the table pictures salvation. The table pictures the Savior. I didn't think I'd get excited about the table of showbread. Amen? Pretty good stuff, ain't it? How many of y'all feeding tonight on manna? I'm glad. Here's another good one. The table pictures security. Now, I like this. The Bible says in verse 25, it says, make the border the size of a handbreadth. What's that mean? Keeps everything on the table. Keeps it from falling. Hey, it's secured. What was resting upon it? What was resting upon this table of showbread? Remember? The 12 loaves. What did the 12 loaves represent? The 12 loaves represented the 12 tribes. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to guarantee you in those 12 tribes represented all kinds of people. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad this is a great picture that no matter where you are, where you come from, what you've done, where you live, what your legacy has been, whatever you've done, what skeletons you have in your closet, I want you to know something. When Jesus saves you, He secures you. That's why I'm going to Africa. You say, Pastor, why are you going to Africa? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to go, but I want to go. I'm compelled to go. I've been asked to go. We want to go over there and be an encouragement to our missionaries. I've been there before. I love those men. We've got some things to deal with on Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We're going to have 6 hours of teaching. Pray for us. I have 6 lessons. I'm going to be preaching on the home and family. I've got a lesson on Jonah and the obstacles of ministry and an anti-missionary heart. And I'm going to preach on, or I'm going to do another session on wisdom from above, ministering and leading with wisdom from above. But we're doing all of that to encourage those preachers. And then I asked Ron, I said, Brother Ron, so when I went over there over 15 years ago, we went out on these cinema teams. Now over there in Africa, you have to understand, it's not like here. Now, Nairobi, the capital city, is huge. They've got everything we have. But we're going out into Eldoret, small little town, a little place up in northwest Kenya. And, you can drive for miles and miles and miles and not even see a light. And they would take us out on these cinema teams. And, you wouldn't see any light at nighttime. About that time, you'd get a mile from this cinema and they'd have a big old sheet. Now, that's their movie screen. They'd throw a big old sheet across 2 big old trees. Or they'd throw a sheet up on the side of an old broken down building. And they'd have one of them old, the old projector cinemas, man. And it'd be a Jesus movie. And man, when you as an American missionary would get there, they'd be, as far as you could see out in that field. I've never forgotten one night it was raining. I said, certainly they're not going to be out in the rain. He said, oh no, they'll be there. They're waiting. Man, it was pouring the rain. I'll never forget this. We pulled up in the car. It was pouring the rain. And there was a guy out there, a man from a Kenya native, and he had one of them 8-foot piece of metal roofing. 8 foot by 3.5 foot. He had that thing tied around his head. Standing under an 8-foot piece of aluminum roof. And he had like 6 guys under there with him. They was waiting for the white man to come and preach. And man, Brother Larry, I'm telling you right now, they turned that film off. And it got dark. And man, they'd have an old makeshift pulpit there with an old microphone that worked half the time. And we'd start shucking the corn, and man, I'm telling you right now, that one night I seen hundreds of people get saved. You say, why? Because I want to tell you what, no matter if they're from Africa, no matter if they're from Venezuela, no matter if they're from Mexico, I want you to know something, salvation is for all people. It pictures security. Why? No matter what tribe they were from, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can be secure in Jesus. God knows your sheep. Aren't you glad He knows you tonight? Perhaps it's the only thing better than knowing God is knowing this, that He knows me. That's better than me knowing Him. Amen? Now, I've visited many of folks with Alzheimer's before. Bless her heart, my grandma Brandon even got it there before she died. And she didn't half the time know who anybody was. But I know this, when I got in her presence, I know who she was. And I'm thankful tonight, my memory might go, but I might forget, and I don't think I ever will. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad we don't have to be secured because of our memory. I thank God we're secure because of His memory. He knows me. Aren't you glad that our salvation's not dependent upon our memory, but His? Now, here's another one. I'm going to try to pronounce this word right. Y'all getting it? This table's a picture of the Savior. This table's a picture of salvation. This table's a picture of security. Look at this one. The table pictures satisfaction. Satisfied. You say, how's that? Well, let's look real quick. Go to Leviticus chapter 24. Now, y'all go with me and let's look at this a minute. Leviticus chapter 24. Now, as I was studying for this, I thought this interesting. I'm talking about the bread and He's given the laws to the priests, to the Levites. And to tell them how to make the bread, what the bread's supposed to consist of. And then, notice, let's look at verse 5 in chapter 24 of Leviticus. Leviticus 24. Look at verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. There you go, there's them 12. 2 tenth deals shall be in one cake. So in other words, every one of them is the same size. They're exactly the same. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, I wonder why frankincense was put there as a memorial. I think we know of another picture during Christmas time that has something to do with frankincense. Verse 8, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Now notice this, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons. And they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is the most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. I don't know about y'all. Y'all like family gatherings? I like fellowships. Especially if everybody's getting along. I can guarantee in the holy place they were getting along. But I love family gatherings. They gather around the table. What do we think about when a family gathers around the table? There's sweet fellowship there. They was to eat the bread together. What wonderful fellowship. That's a beautiful picture of satisfied. As they looked at the 12 loaves, they were all level. All the same size. Even though some tribes were large and some tribes might have been smaller, some were more wealthy, some were very poor. Fellowship with God, once you get in, look at me. It's all level at the foot of the cross. Aren't you thankful we're all the same in Jesus' eyes? Fellowship with God is a level playing field. Then the bread now, here in verse 5, the Bible says, thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. Now, what does that mean, fine? That you know what that means, fine grit, fine sandpaper, what? Fine, smooth, even and pure. No rough spots in that bread. Now, this pictures the perfect life of Jesus. Now, we and me, on the other hand, I got some rough spots. And you know what? So do you. But I'm glad we can come to this table, not because we're worthy, but because He's worthy. Now, don't be too quick to judge, because I just want everybody to know, all of us have rough spots. And we're not perfect yet. And I'll just sing an old song. All of us know that we should know, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Oh, how patient and loving He must be. And I don't know if I said that right. He's still working on me. And by the way, He's still working on you. So don't be a critic yet. But I'm glad He don't need no working. I'm glad this picture of this bread shows the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I still got some lumps to work out. How about y'all? And I want y'all to know something. The closer you get to Jesus and the more you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will help you work out the lumps. I'm thankful as I look back through my years. I know that I'm not what I used to be, but I know I thank God I still got a long ways to go. But I am so thankful that He's done a work in my heart and my life. And He's worked out some of the lumps. And I know if I continue to follow Him, He'll work the rest out. He's still working on me. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. Same with you. Now quickly, we see His painful death in this as well, because you make flour by what? Kneading it, threshing it, grinding it, baking it by fire. Now, this is a beautiful picture because Jesus endured the threshing of false accusations. He, all of His life, and then a Roman scourging at crucifixion. He was scourged. Josephus, the historian, tells us that most of the criminals never endured, never lived through a scourging. Most died of blood loss before they ever got on the cross, because the Romans would scourge them, and we can talk about that later. But that, when you ever see a picture of Jesus with just a few little stripes on His back, that's not the way it looked. His back looked like a furrowed plow, a field. And I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, there's all adults here tonight, but Josephus tells us that many times the men that were scourged, their inwards were hanging out of their body. Now, we know that to be true probably with Jesus, because in Psalm 22, He said that it was poured out like water. So we see the picture of even the making of the bread and being baked by fire. And then He was placed on a fiery oven of God's wrath, and out of the Savior, He was mealed in suffering. And why did He do all of that for you and me? We see His precious resurrection in the table as well, because why? The priest would pour the sweet frankincense upon the bread which was already risen. In like manner, the women went to the tomb. What we just celebrated a few weeks ago, but when they got there, they noticed something. There was already a smell in the air. What was the smell? It was a sweet fragrance in the air. He had already risen. I'm glad tonight we serve, and I'm preaching and talking about and shouting and having myself a time over a risen Savior tonight. And I'm glad that we have a risen Savior. Could you imagine tonight being an Islamic believer? Well, your man's over there in a grave. His bones are still there. Praise God, our Savior. You go over there to that tomb, He ain't there! Proof that we're serving a living Savior. Now, every Sabbath, the Bible said they had to set it in order before the Lord continually. The bread, He had to set it continually. Continually, that sacrifice is acceptable to the Father. Jesus was the once and for all sacrifice. By living that perfect life, by suffering that painful death, by raising from that tomb. And then I want to close with this. We also see the provision of the bread for believers. You know what's amazing about that bread? All you got to do is take it and eat it. They just had to take it and eat it. Partake of Him daily. Feed on Him regularly. We know that He's the what? Bread of life. Can I ask y'all a question? What are y'all eating today? What have y'all been feeding on? What have you been nourished on today? If we feed on Christ, we'll become more like Him. Jesus said it, don't live by bread alone, but what? Every word out of the mouth of the Father. I want you to know something. This is why I've given my life to giving out bread. I'm just a bread deliverer. Y'all ever run a bread route? Has anybody ever run a bread route? My pastor, Pastor Altizer, we pray for tonight, he ran a route for Purity Made back in the 60s. And he said, boys, I'll tell you what, you work hard on them bread routes. I said, well, here's what's funny, Pastor. You ran that bread all them years. I said, now you're preaching bread every week. You're still handing out bread. Praise God. That's a good calling, giving out bread. How many of y'all like good old wheat bread? White bread? I like it all. That healthy stuff, though, that multi-grain stuff. That's got them nuts and them little seeds in it. But you say, why are you delivering bread? I want y'all to get fat. You say, Pastor Mark, I want you fat. I want y'all to be butterballs. What do you mean? I mean fat. Pastor, I want y'all to be obese. I really do. We got too much leanness around here in Chattanooga. You know, these people, I'll have water. You know, and all the. I was driving by the house the other day. And I was driving down through here. And you know, all these runners out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, ain't they crazy? Miss Janet, I'm not talking about you. They're too healthy, amen? That's a joke. I like to serve bread on Wednesday night. I like to serve bread Sunday morning. I like serving bread on Sunday night. I like serving bread anytime I get a chance. You say, why? Trying to get people fat. Trying to get them to feed on the right thing. Because I know the world, I guarantee you, if you watch TV today, you didn't feed on much. You fed on a bunch of junk. If you watch social media much today, you fed on trash. By the way, I appreciate when people use Facebook properly and they put good stuff up. Encouraging stuff up. Like Bible verses and spiritual things that encourage people. Y'all like that? I do too. Now, I'm just trying to help you be spiritually fat. How many of y'all want to be fat? Ooh, that was hard. That's why I harp all the time on show up for dinner. Show up for the feeding. I don't know any lady in here, if you have people over to your house, that's going to spend 5 minutes and go in there and get a TV dinner and throw it in the oven. Say, oh yeah, come on over, I'm going to fix you a gourmet meal, and then you go up here to Walmart and get you one of the Marie Callender baked things, lasagnas. I know every woman in this house tonight would not do that. Nobody would go up here and get a can of brown beans and get some already made cornbread, throw it in a pot, and overcook that stuff again, and have somebody to your house for dinner. How many of y'all, does any ladies do that? Now, if y'all are going to invite somebody to your house, you're going to do, you go fix that fancy stuff. You're going to get the best silverware out and the best stuff. You're going to get, depending on who it is. Now, if you ever invite me over there, don't do all that for me. Just give me a bowl and a fork and a plate. I don't need nothing fancy. Y'all need to remember, I'm from West Virginia. I like brown beans and cornbread.
Amen.
Amen. Now, listen. Miss Judy, if I was to come up to your house and you invite me up there, would you be disappointed if you spent all that time and me and Laura didn't show up? And every lady here, if you spent hours and hours working on food, man, you prepared a meal and you'd sweated over that, listen to me, you'd get upset. Well, y'all know what? I'm just going to go ahead and just give you a little guilt trip a minute. That's how preachers feel every Sunday if people don't show up. Because I'm going to tell y'all right now, I have poured, I've sweated, I've went over it, I've studied, I've prayed, I've languished over it. For days. And man, I just feel like when God puts a message in a preacher's heart, people ought to be around to eat on it. And by the way, you just don't have to wait to eat around here. Feed yourself, get in the good old book and read it every day, and have yourself a time. The table of showbread. Amen? How many of y'all will never look at that table of showbread ever again like you did? All of my boring thoughts about that showbread table on that projector's all gone. That He may dwell among us. Now, I'm going to pray, but before I pray, I need to make a little announcement. Honey, I know you're watching tonight, and I just got to thinking, I compared you to a boot. But to be fair, it is the most beautiful boot I've ever seen. So I thought I better clear that up. Let's stand to our feet. With head bowed and eyes closed now, what a Savior we have. Aren't you glad He knows you? Now, do we know Him like we should? The invitation's always open. He's always available, even when I'm not. But I'm here. If anybody needs any help, prayer, guidance, I'd be more than happy to help you. We all need the bread of life. I pray that God will help us. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, we thank You for all the beautiful pictures that You've put in this book about You. Lord, the minute details that points us to a detailed Savior. Lord, I stand amazed that You loved me so much, that You redeemed me. You paid the price. I pray You'll help me to be ever thankful. Be with these dear precious people as they go home tonight. Give them safety. And I do pray You'll be with the request that we made earlier tonight. We'll give You praise and honor and glory for it all. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And all God's people said, God bless you. Have a great night. Be careful going home. Be back Sunday and invite somebody with you.